Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Triple M footy lives on Listener. Replays, interviews and the only place to catch every Triple M footy call.
Here we go.
The countdown to the weekend is over. A new round of footy starts now. And every massive moment is right here.
A massive arm wrestle.
Massive hit.
That's what we love it.
To McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome, round number four. The big news tonight from CommBank Stadium. Summer is over. The rain has arrived and it's staying, it seems, although we've got beautiful golden orange skies right now just hovering over this CommBank Stadium. We had a massive downpour about an hour and a half ago. It's just held off. There was lightning as well. So it's going to leave the pitch greasy, but it's Parramatta and Penrith, two high-quality teams. Parramatta, we're getting into serious stuff here. 0-3 and 0-4, if that was to be the case after this. Top four looks a long way away. James Graham. Geez, we've had some great Thursday night games. Hello to you.
Hello, Dan. How are we doing? We sure have had some great Thursday night games. And, mate, it's interesting that you talk about the weather. Before I came here today, I thought Penrith are going to run away with this. But then I just remembered about Penrith's last two games in these similar conditions against the Brisbane Broncos and St Helens.
This is a sneaky way where they to bring up St Helens.
Just keep everybody reminded.
Any way you can remind us.
Lost by a point in the conditions. So I know the conditions play a part in any game, but just recently Penrith's performance in the wet hasn't been up to their usual standards. So something else to look out for today.
That is quality tease work there from you, Jimmy Graham, setting it up nicely. And I know this man has some thoughts on this subject. Aaron Woods, hello. Well, we call him up on a Thursday night.
Where's the big man?
We've swapped him with Wendell and he hasn't turned up. He's participating on the WhatsApp chat. But he's not here.
He participating. It was more than participating. He was suggesting the ideas. We have to talk about this. He's never been more pumped up for a show.
Where is he?
And he misses the beginning.
Where is he? This is just...
He's saying his training ran over now.
I've seen the Dragons. I'm not sure that...
Are you saying you don't think they're training?
Woodsy's nowhere near the first team, is he? So he should just get on his bike and leave.
If you see Woodsy at the Victoria Road McDonald's drive-thru, call us on one... What's our number? 133353. I almost said 13, 13, 32. That's another radio station. McDonald's. Head to Macca's for 10 chicken McBites for just $3. They're bites with a huge hit. And Ream Hot Water, built tough for Aussie conditions when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install the Ream. Well, rugby league's leading journalist, going by what she just pried out of Royce Hunt last night. Emma Lawrence, hello to you.
Hello. I didn't have to try that hard to get it out of him, really. He wanted to get that off his chest.
This is poor work. If I introduce Weidler or Rothfield or Chamis or Reed in that way, there's no way they'd just shove that back. They would just take it humbly and keep it under their hat. But that was actually quite fascinating. Look who's walked in. Look who has walked in. You better not pull in a full invoice. Here he is, Aaron Woods. Look, I've got to say, Woodsy is looking fit.
He is. Stylish tonight.
Have you actually lost weight, Aaron Woods, as we put the headphones on him? This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
Up and down the East Coast.
A little bit of traffic on the way. Sorry, guys and girls.
We've all blamed that before. Have you actually lost weight? You do look as fit as you have in years.
Trimmed down a little bit. The game's a lot quicker now. The six again, so we had to change our style and what we're doing in the preseason. So... I'm just really glad to see you guys and girls.
What have you been doing?
We just had training.
No, I mean to shred down.
Training. And eating well. I've been watching my diet. It's something probably I should have done a lot earlier in my career. You listen to a lot of people and say, yeah, we're training as hard as we can, but sometimes you eat whatever you want and it doesn't really go that way with the body. So for once, I've actually started weighing my food and all that sort of stuff. Because I said if it's going to be my last year, I want to... leave no stone unturned. And, you know, it's the first time I've probably, like, my missus has got scales for food, and you don't realise how much crap you eat and how much calories you waste on other things.
What is the prime criminal act of your eating career?
Oh, after a game's awful.
Macca's?
I'll have a Porto's, but Macca's is outstanding. It's the only thing that's open late at night.
Right.
So
there are salads and wraps at McDonald's for different calorie
but
options.
Exactly. No one's going to Macca's to get a salad or a wrap.
I've done that.
I get the chicken aioli wrap all the time. It is outstanding.
It's like you're going to McDonald's, like, but without the guilt.
I've been doing this for years. I used to get a Big Mac, throw the patties out, and just eat the lettuce.
You are kidding.
One of my favourite memories.
And the gherkins.
Years ago, the best part.
Was a Canterbury Friday night game. I think they played Easts or Roosters in a massive Friday night game at what used to be Telstra Stadium. It's now Accor Stadium at Homebush. And I'm driving, so I did the press conferences, and it must have been there. It must have gone late because I'm driving out of the car park at the same time as the players. And at the first set of traffic lights, I look to my left, and it's the O'Mealy family.
Oh.
Mark, kids. No, it wasn't the first set of traffic lights. This is a fair way down because they've all got Maccas. And as soon as the car pulled up at the red light, they all took a bite of their
whatever they had.
I think there was some fillet of fish action going on. I think Mark had a big boy, Big Mac.
You can't get a Maccas and get a fillet of fish.
I love the fillet of fish.
Oh, you're like maroon.
It's fresh out of the ocean.
What's wrong with you?
It's fresh out of the ocean.
Just because it's fish doesn't mean it's healthy for you.
I never claimed it was healthy. What's wrong with having a bit of culture?
You know, there's nothing wrong
having
with that.
A bit of seafood.
A fillet of fish. Are you claiming a fillet of fish to
be a fish shop?
It's part of my
fish.
Seafood diet.
to be fair, Dan, I have actually done that before when the dog used to play at the old ANZ, now Accor Stadium. I've stopped in at one of the Maccas.
Yeah. And there's a couple of them.
There's too many.
A McFlurry. And then finished that, and then thought, you know what? I could do a big six again here. gone past Sylvania. I'm going in again for a second.
Because you can't go back to the one you went to.
No, that's a statement.
When you make that, there's a bit of desperation.
Speaking
about
of McFlurries, I saw on social. I haven't been yet, but I saw on social media McFlurry Maltesers now.
That's a game changer.
I tell you what. Big shout out to Ronald McDonald for coming up with that. He's married into my favourite things there. Soft serve ice cream and Maltesers. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Ronald.
We'll get the footy in a moment, I promise. Soft serve, I put it to everyone, it's the best value food in Australia.
How much is it now?
$1. Well, it depends where you go. I paid 85 cents not all that long ago, but $1. $1 for an ice cream.
Nowhere else.
You're not going to get that.
Can't get anything.
You're paying $5 for a Magnum Classic, and I'll never.
Even a Paddle Pop's $1.50 now, isn't it?
Is that on it? Is that all? I reckon it might be.
I haven't had one for a long time, but yeah.
Anyway, thus ends our Maccas. Now,
riveting chat.
The next ad will do.
After that chat, don't get Maccas deliveries every game. There's something wrong.
And in the next break, we'll do 10 minutes on Ream hot water. Importantly here at CommBank, Liam Martin is out. That's a big out. Big out. He had a late start to the season, didn't he, if I remember. Emmy didn't play in the World Club Challenge.
Hurt his shoulder.
That's right.
His AC joint, yeah.
And so he's out again. I'm not sure why. We might. A minor hamstring complaint. Okay.
Wow.
So minor hamstring. Jeez, he must have picked that up in training because, of course, they didn't play last week. So Zach Hosking comes in and he will start straight into the starting lineup. Parramatta 1-17. What's the big news, Em? Look, we're all a bit sick to death, honestly, talking the Mitchell Moses contract, but it's done.
According to our man, Brent Reed, and got to be honest, I was having a chat with producer Charlie. As soon as we saw it come from Brent Reed, I thought, you know what? I'm 99.9% sure that is true, and looks like after making a few calls, he was on the money. Because our man, Brent Reed, doesn't get much wrong at all.
Yes.
He's on the money. So
like Chemis.
So do we get details?
So he had the option for next year, so it's next year, which was already there, and another 4 years.
Wow.
So the next 5 years after this year.
So he wanted five. Is that what he got, or was he chasing this one plus another five?
Whatever I believe it is. So. He wanted that
I think the Tigers were going to give him five.
That extra one, like on top of the 2024.
No, it's the same as the Tigers because he already had that one for next year, which that, so he's pretty much got the 4 years on top.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do we think of that? That's obviously quality halfback. Still, Jimmy, yet to win a comp and was played one Origin game, and you can't say he's on the level of the Nathan Clearers of this world, but they don't come easy, quality halfback. So do you think committing this much to the cap is a good decision by Parramatta?
Yeah, well, it's arguably the most important position. Your scrum half, your fullback. And with you look at Parramatta now, they've got Gutherson, I think, locked up for a few more years. Dylan Brown's now locked up for a few more years.
Yep.
Hodgson, a couple of years. Now they've Moses. So you can look to build a reliable team, some structures around that spine, which is imperative. They've got Hopgood there coming in as well. So I think there's been an extension of the spine as well with this modern-day lock forward being part of the link between, you know, from the 9 to the 13 to the 7 or 6. So they're building around that, and that will attract other players. Not too dissimilar to what Melbourne Storm used to do. They've got that spine.
That's it.
And then they build around it. Now, whether Mitchell Moses is worth that type of money or not, I mean, that's up for Parramatta to decide and what the market values him at. Now, if they were to look, you can think it's a lot of money for a player that hasn't delivered a competition, but, you know, where do Parramatta go? Yeah, if they allow him to walk out the door.
That's
like,
right.
Like, seriously, where do they go?
And isn't... Everyone goes on about, oh, is he worth that? But you genuinely... It's whatever the market demands, and a club might be in a position they want that stability. You go back to... Remember when the Tigers, when a couple of you boys left and they really desperately needed players, and then they ended up signing, like, Russell Packer, Ben Matalino to $800,000.
Yes, that's right.
Right? Just because they couldn't attract players at the time, so
it's similar to
that's
the Dragons.
What they, yeah, they
with Ben Hunt. You know, the first few years they were, you know, he's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
He didn't have a position, and then he's grown into his role down there. Now he's one of the best players in the game. You know, but at the start everyone was like, oh, what are they doing? But it's their market value.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of players that, like you said with Cleary, he's locked up. So he's probably the best one that's on the open market in that position. And the team like the Tigers, who need a half desperately.
Well, how many quality half, real high quality? There's not 17.
There's not 17. No,
so
way,
you,
no
when
way.
You've got one, you've got to keep them. And 1.4 is not what it used to be because that salary cap, I understand, is about to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Could be, I'm told, Woodsy, as early as tomorrow, the whole thing could be signed away. So
the other thing,
there's a big meeting tomorrow, RLPA and
weren't they going to adjust the numbers as well from the top 30 to 38, I read somewhere. So that could make the cap a bit more as well.
Yes.
With all the concussion debate. So.
That's right.
Story for another day.
I'm told they're now in the real ticky-tack stuff.
Yep.
So hopefully it's signed off by tomorrow. But I think strike action now is long gone, it would seem. Back to the Moses thing. What a fascinating story, the Roosters angle. Because we all know him, once the Roosters want someone, they get them. And if the Roosters have someone and they want to keep them, they keep them. I don't know how they do it every time, but they do it every time. But a step from Nick Politis, who's... I'm enjoying Nick Politis, by the way, being more public. He's fascinating to listen to.
It was so rare to ever see a quote from him in the paper, let alone ever, you know, he'd never really go on TV or anything, but even a paper quote was rare. But he's come out a few times recently.
I like it.
I think when he feels strongly about shutting something down, because I think
when
you'd want,
lie.
For your halves, imagine if you're Luke Keary
and
Sam Walker and you're seeing this.
Nothing
naturally,
works.
There's this part of them that is starting to question, oh, are they really thinking, I won't last with my head knocks? Are they really looking around? So they had to come out, shut it down, like speak to the halves, but then also publicly shut it down.
And also what he does is he says, don't you dare use my club.
Yeah.
Don't you dare use, as a leader of that, don't you dare use us to get something for your client. I love that. It's a strong leader, straight off the bat as well. He wasn't going to wait a couple of days or wishy washy in the press for a little bit and then then come out and react. It's like straight off the bat. Don't you dare use my club to do that.
He should have said, "Listen, if you want to go, you want to go down that path, use the West's Tigers like you always do. Exactly. Don't use
they already were.
Dolphins. Use the Dolphins.
They had to go to Plan B or C."
Yeah. But this is fascinating. So on the Footy Talk podcast, Michael Chamis revealed how the whole situation came about.
A couple of weeks ago, I'm not going to name names because you're going to keep pressing me, so don't even bother asking. But a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to someone at a club about Mitchell Moses, and they were frustrated with what was going on, the stalemate.
Which club?
I'm not going to. Did I just tell you not to ask me about where or what or who? Just stay out of it. Let me tell my story. Anyway, this person said, let's start a rumour. Let's see how long it takes for it to get out that Mitchell Moses and the Roosters are trying to get Mitchell Moses. And I just laughed. I said, yeah, look, you know, go with it. See, let's see. So this club or this person decided to continue the narrative about Mitchell Moses and the Roosters. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Through social media or?
No, I just think word of mouth. So on Monday night, I'm sitting there at home getting the kids' lunches ready for school and I get a text message late at night and I get a text message about Mitchell Moses and the Roosters. I start laughing. It's only taken a couple of weeks. So I've called my work the next morning. I said, listen, if there's rumours doing the rounds about Mitchell Moses and the Roosters, just stay away because it's just a big joke. That night, it ended up on 360. Now,
how's Nick going to react to this when he hears?
Well, look, I'm not saying that Isaac didn't hear it along the way and then decided that this is a great way to continue the narrative around his client.
Could have put out the fire but decided, you know what, I'm staying warm with this.
Yeah, well, so. I'm sure that's what happened. But it started by a club thinking it'd be funny to see if anyone would take the bait.
Wow, that's it. There we go.
If Mitch heard that, he would be filthy. That's so frustrating.
But that's what managers do often. I'm not joking.
What a couple of little bitches they are.
No, that's true.
What, two little bitches? Woodsy.
I'm with
you. Wade? In the world of mental health, how's Moses been these past couple of days?
Mate, in terms of having
to put out fires and, you know, are you leaving? Do you think that helps him?
Because you
two want to start a rumour, you little bitches.
I reckon.
What an absolute disgrace. They sound like me mum and me sister gossiping. I hate gossipers. Like, they piss me off.
That reminds me, I've got to tell you something about little gossipers.
Well, you know what? I know who this club person is because I've been doing my digging. And you know what I know about this person?
Is that right?
I believe, allegedly, he is involved in the most abhorrent of crimes.
I'd love you to
illegal
tell
crimes. I know who it is.
No, that would be gossip.
I know who it is, Woodsy. And I know that they're involved in the most abhorrent crimes. I'm just a joke. It's just a rumour. Just a rumour.
That frustrates
me. Jimmy, you are frightening me.
I'm just going to sit over here next to him. What little bitch comes out and starts a rumour like that?
But like Jimmy said, Mitchell's got to front everything. His family's got to read all these stories about him wanting more money, which...
He's not being accused of domestic violence or something horrible. He's talking about getting $5 million.
It's not even him, Dan. It's someone making up a story about it.
But hang on, how many managers come out and make up rumours to create a false market?
This particular one. He knew about this story and he was laughing when it came out. Poor Mitchell's got to run his head through it and get laughed throughout
Mitchell,
the people.
He's crying all the way to the bank.
No.
I'm not saying he's done anything wrong.
He's already getting heaven and he's greedy. And now the Roosters are one of the biggest clubs in the NRL.
I have no respect for whoever this club person is. I'm not defending them.
Wait,
I had a great story. There was a coach. It was here at Parramatta. I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was many years ago. They did a deal with Parramatta. And then the manager, as they walked into the car park, said, what's this? Rings the club and said, I just checked my voicemail. Another club just offered an extra $100,000 on top of what you're offering. And the club, Parramatta, said, all right, we'll match it. Complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But he got his client $100,000 on a made-up story.
But that's the games that agents play behind closed doors with club officials, not leaking it to the
media. Yeah.
It's a different game because he has that phone call conversation. His audience on the phone call is the club official at Parramatta. Not the audience. If he'd have leaked that to the press, I mean, you know, extra $100,000, blah, 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 but a genuine interest.
But you're talking about a rumour about a player switching clubs. This is not a rumour about a crime.
But this could be another club trying to derail Parramatta's season, not just Mitchell's.
That's it.
The intentions behind it are awful.
And just to outright say...
And like you said, mental health this day and age.
Mate, and just to outright say, we're going to start a rumour. Like, sort your life out. Like, whoever's at that club, like, sort your issues out at your club, because every club's got them.
There's no doubt that's as pathetic as it gets. I don't think it's the biggest crime as you're saying. But it is pathetic.
It's not crime of the century. Just, I hate gossipers, Dan. I you sound like a couple of teenage girls.
I'm going to guess this is not a successful club. Do you know who it is?
Do you genuinely know who it is?
No, he's just gossiping.
I know. Well, I don't know. Rumours. Rumours. I know.
You are frightening me. You are right now to me, you are Heath Ledger from Batman.
He's got the finger up too, Dan.
Mate, if you come near me with a pencil, I'm running away. Get the Ladbrokes app today. Gamble responsibly. Well, that first break had it all covered. Thank you, Tommy. That had it all covered, didn't it? We'll get to some more footy after this.
Triple M footy lives on Leicester. Ready or not. For McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M rocks footy. You can't stop what I
got. Ready or not. James Graham mightn't like gossip, oh boy, the rest of us do, and didn't we just try and work out who the hell he was talking about just then? Triple M rocking the footy for Remont Water. And for Maccas, you've got Emma Lawrence, you've got Aaron Woods, you've got Jimmy Graham, and Jim Beam bring us prime time. This set to be an epic match, and that's worth... It's a good line for games like this. I don't know what we're going to do in round 12 when we get some... Are they all going to be epic? Well, when a Jim Beam's involved, it is an epic match, and that's worth raising a Jim Beam, but please drink responsibly. Penrith and Parramatta, 31 minutes away here at beautiful Combank Stadium, and I think the rain might have held off. Oh, no, it's back. It's back. Sorry, it's back. So
beauty. Love it on the sideline, raining.
Yeah, well...
trench coat?
I did. I went upstairs to the wardrobe department and got a rain jacket. Because you can't. It's a bit hard. You don't want to block the view of others if you've got an umbrella.
Aren't you under the tunnel, bud?
No, Channel 9 get the exclusive access to that little...
Oh, surely a hookup.
The little
dugout
type thing.
You?
Yeah, I could maybe go and sit under there, but I'm a woman of the people tonight with Triple M.
Now, sometimes journalists, we just spoke about journalists, sometimes journalists play the role of basically MC to a coach or a player, and they ask what they call in Parliament Dorothy Dixes, or they ask a set-up question. All right, it's been pre-arranged. Ask me this. Did you and Royce Hunt have a little arrangement, Emma Lawrence? Because you asked him questions, and he, out of nowhere, just absolutely gave it to Corey Horsbrough. Was he serious or was he joking?
No, I think he genuinely was filthy. I didn't expect him to come out and say, weak gutted dog. But it was funny. To be honest, we probably wouldn't have really gone there if not for the fact that Braden Hamlin-Ueli finished his press conference. And because he said, what are you going to ask me? And he was a bit nervous. Then afterwards, he said, oh, that was easy. And as he walked out, he said, make sure you ask Royce about Corey Horsbrough. So he thought, oh, he must have been bagging him out. And
he's a very proud man, Royce, and he wouldn't like to get pushed on his backside. Yeah. They play together at Mounties. So Royce was in the Mounties in Canberra.
I was reading this.
Yeah, he was an assistant for a while.
No bad blood between them.
Not at all. But Royce is like, so you'd muck around with Royce to train. His first comeback is, I'll bash you. Like, it just... Never anything can. Yeah.
So he's clever.
Yeah, so I spoke to him. I rang him during the week. Said, mate, you just got put in your backside by the old ginger ninja.
So you...
Yeah.
Fired him up.
Yeah. You put the burly.
And then he's like, oh, mate, next time he'll be crying again. So, mate, I reckon there'll be around.
So it was obviously in the back of his mind.
He wanted to... Filthy.
And he didn't really take that much prodding because his first line...
Well, let's have a listen.
I've never seen a front row hide behind a halfback, though. You know, you can't just hold me in and push me over and not expect anything. It's a bit upset about that, but you know, it is what it is. It's rugby league. We'll get on with it and bash them next game.
You think that was poor form?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as Ricky Shield would say, he's a weak gutter dog, but we'll get him next game.
So it was only about the third question that was
asked. You record that in the toilet?
Yeah, the echo.
Where'd you get that? I don't know. Anyway.
That's the shark park.
He made the halfback comment, and I'm looking across at Scott Bailey, one of the other journalists, thinking, oh, I think he's ready to tee off here.
Yeah.
Asked one more and he said, I'll bash him. Let's just ask one more. And then there was almost 3 second silence after he said that because we genuinely couldn't believe it. And
it
was tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
it wasn't said in anger. I think he was filthy that Horsburgh did to him, but it wasn't.
I reckon it's good to see. We want to see a bit of banter.
It's finally
someone that's come out and said it, and now we all want to bring him down. But obviously, he said the weak gutted dog, but he's only mucking around.
And also,
because he giggled when he said it.
He said, as Ricky said, and giggled. So I don't. Look, I thought it was great because we get annoyed when players give us cliched answers and, oh no, what happened on the field stays on the field. And because if he had said that, I'd be like, come on, mate. We know that you want to bash him. Just say it.
I was just thinking, Emma, is that not part of the game? Like, what happened on the field
stays.
And then, you know what, next game, it's on?
The only problem is it's round 27's the next game. You've got to wait so long for it.
There's every chance one of those teams
might be out.
Will be running dead because they've got their spot in the eight locked up. But I bet you, Royce Hunt, if, let's say Cronulla have locked up, they're in sixth, right? And
Fitzy won't play him.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. No, you.
Oh, but he's now got to play. He's got to play that game.
But would you want to lose one of your players because he's a hothead? You wouldn't want to lose him.
But then all of a sudden, Horsburgh's got the moral, the high ground. So you didn't play.
Yeah, if you carrying the baby again.
Well, I don't think Fitzy was happy. But with those comments, from my understanding.
No, it's so. Not very Cronulla. We haven't heard many comments like that out of Cronulla since he arrived.
Since Gow left.
Now, what is this? The judiciary, does it need an overhaul? I gather, is this coming from Felice Corfusi? Are we comfortable with him getting 4 weeks for that shot? I mean, he fought it and didn't bring any representation.
I heard he did have a fair bit of representation.
Did he? I thought he was representing himself.
Nick Abar was. I was there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nick Abar was there, and
Christian
Wolf came.
I read somewhere he was representing himself. So that obviously I've read that incorrectly. So my apologies.
That was Chemis and his mate making that up.
Chemis again.
Nick Abar. Nick Abar.
Nice M.
Used to be. I tell you what, Nick. He was the godfather at Didutra. Remember, he used to be unbeatable.
Never lost a case, and he's.
You know he. Is in danger of being like Breaking Bad, big in the 2010s. Come on, Nick. You know, and he's picking two cases that are too hard. He was never going to win that case, was he?
I sat in and I walked out thinking, oh, yeah, he has to get off because I thought Nick made a great case.
Didn't the judiciary say they stuffed up the grading of Swalihi's one in round one?
They didn't admit there.
They haven't admitted it, but...
No.
Because that one, the Felisti, was nowhere near as bad as that one.
This is the thing that I think frustrates most people. It's that consistency.
That's it. You're exactly right.
And that's what we strive for. You know, Kafusi was like... He was so raw and honest after the game. Like in terms of assessing his own performance and the incident itself. Instead, like... Probably a lesson for Felice is, you know, if an incident like that happens again, don't talk to the media or don't talk about the specific incident at play where he sort of said, yeah, I got that one wrong.
But he didn't get it wrong that bad, I don't think. Because even Hastings, he was fine from it. He got up. He was filthy that he got taken off.
Just because it doesn't result in a major injury, though. They take that into account, but that shouldn't be, he's not hurt. It's saying you can't do a shoulder charge and say, well, I pulled it off perfectly.
But the only thing for me, Jimmy, I've seen two. So the Swalihi one, he goes through with the tackle, and then we had one of my teammates last year against Brisbane, Tarek Sims, do the exact same thing as
Kafusi
the other night, where he goes in and sort of half pulls out. Reynolds stayed on the ground, and then I think Simsy only got 1 week for it. I don't understand. I know he's got a couple of carryovers, but that doesn't warrant 4 weeks for what.
Yeah, but
he did.
Then if he didn't contest it, he would have got three.
But do you reckon it's because of the prize he's had? Like he's been in the judiciary a couple of times, being down that Melbourne system. You know, he's a regular at the judiciary from where he's been there last couple of years. He's a known target.
It certainly doesn't help, does it?
But don't all players know, like, of his ilk that make those sort of tackles, the Justin Ollams of this world? We celebrate those tackles when they're done right like nothing else, right?
But the other thing is...
But what I'm saying is, but doesn't everyone know Those players included, if you miss by a split hair, like Wade Graham, different style of tackle, but Wade Graham went for a big shot, tried to inspire his team. Live, I thought this is going to end up being tackle of the year. Turned out he got Moala in the head.
Yep.
So it becomes great tackle to 3 weeks. There's no in between. Doesn't Kafusi know that if you don't get that bang on, you're going to spend significant time on the sideline? Don't players know this?
Yeah, well, we do. 100% we do. But the thing is as well, if he's going right into the line, like that's what Hastings does, he plays nice and square. So if he passes last second, does Hastings have to go in with that premeditated, oh, I've got to pull out just last second? What happens if he dummies and goes straight through the line?
That is exactly what Nick Gabar brought up.
Oh, was it? So we get to review on Sunday or Monday when you do it, and they go, mate, why are you letting him? Because, oh, just in case he didn't pass the ball. Oh, sorry, just in case he passed the ball, I don't hit him.
That was part of the argument because he slowed down Jackson Hastings' body position.
Yeah, he's straight and direct.
He is still capable
of
dummying, and then Felice has missed the tackle. So it's not like he's totally committed to passing. He still could do that. So Felice had to commit because he could have like gone past him on the inside.
100%.
It's a shame. It is a shame because it does
miss out one of the best players for the big reduce.
And they got no Marshall King tomorrow night as well. So it does.
And Katoa maybe?
Is he? Okay, well, we better find out because it was a training session today where I believe if he got through, they might be waiting on how he pulled up from that tomorrow, the 5'8". Because a lot of super coach players too, Woodsy. Not that that's the most important thing in the world. But
it is to a lot of people, though, Dan.
Bloody oath it is. Triple M rocking Thursday night football. Penrith and Parramatta and Penrith live from Combank Stadium.
Triple M footy lives on Leicester. Ready or not. For McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M rocks footy. You can't stop what
I got. Ready or not. Jeez, I hope this rain hasn't held out the crowd here. I tell you what's a good sign here at Combank, because they do come in late. I may have popped into the Leagues Club just before the game, had a little bit of spare time. Wow, what a wonderful Leagues Club. We really should start doing shows from Leagues Club. I've said this to producer Charlie. I think we can really make something of that. Nice schnitzel.
Palmy. Oh.
You know, you can, I'm not a palmy guy. But
No way.
No, I love a snitty, but not a palmy.
If they had the Sunday games, it'd be perfect to do the show from the Leagues Club and call the game. Imagine everyone watching you guys call the game.
You should be in sales, Emma Lawrence. But what I'm about to say here is the ends are filling up nicely. That's a good sign because they normally come in late from the Leagues Club and from around Parramatta with the restaurants and the pubs and the bars. So, I think we might get a decent crowd here. It is Thursday night, and it is a bit wet, but...
rain's gone, Dan. Looks like it's gone now.
It is for now, but you know what? It came at the worst time, Woodsy, when people are making their decision.
That's it.
So come on down. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. We haven't spoken about the Panthers. They've sort of been out of sight, Jimmy, out of mind, haven't they? Haven't played for 2 weeks. The last time we saw them was on a Thursday. They almost got run down by South, but let's be honest, they thumped South for 70 minutes, bashed them up through the middle. Are they back?
Yeah, look, it was it's strange to see Penrith lose. Like in the World Cup Challenge, perhaps they didn't treat with the same. Yeah, bring it up again. but then, that for Brisbane to come down here and perform like they did, I think hearing Coach Cleary speak in the week about. The attack still needing some improvement, some time to work on. I think that's only natural when you lose such an important cog in the attacking machine that Api Korosau was, and everything that Billy Kickow bought in terms of presence on that edge. Like they've got a really strong left edge, but just because you don't go to Kickow doesn't mean he doesn't get the attention of the opposition defenders. So his very presence distracts defenders. Creates a tension. Then obviously I think it was Garner comes in that side. He doesn't create that same amount of attention. And you actually saw that against Souths. And I think Luai went short to Garner a couple of times, and perhaps on another day he scores. I think he had a couple taken off him. So they still need to figure that out and work on that. But I think Penrith this year, they're back in amongst the pack. They're not they're out and out by far in the best way, the best team in the competition like they have been for arguably the past 2-3 years.
I'm also looking at look at their starting side. A lot of them come back to preseason really late in January. It was a long year last year. They played Origin. They had the World Cup. So it's going to take them a while to get going. And they're going, they've been back-to-back. They're going for a three-peat. So it won't just happen overnight. You know, they need to get their match fitness. That was probably, I think they had to come back to preseason a little bit earlier than what they were due back if they wanted to play the game against St Helens.
That's
because part of the RLPA the code with the rules that we do. So they're just still gelling. They're still getting their match fitness. I have no doubt they'll be there at the back end of September and they'll be flying.
Well, and let's be honest, they can't, as good as they are, they can't go full throttle for 7 months again. They did it last year. They did it the year before. They did it the year before that. It's impossible to stay up for that long. There's going to be a lull, whether they've had it and they're just easing in or whether there's a lull coming in the middle of the season. It's impossible, Jimmy, to think they're going to have another season where they win 20 regular season games. It's just it way beyond, surely, expectations.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Dan. And like I say, I think that they are back in amongst the pack now. But I think privately they will be backing themselves to peak at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
That's it.
They're aware, you know, if you look back for 3 years ago when, you know, they were down on a few troops and they lost to Melbourne. It's about peaking at the right time for them, and I think they're well equipped. They're seasoned and they're experienced now in being in those big games and not having to win from first or from second. I think they'll have enough confidence to win from, you know, lower down the pecking order in the eighth.
Does Ryan Madison feel like he owes his club? Does he go into this game thinking I owe?
Definitely.
He should feel like that.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what he feels. He does.
He owes the club, massively.
He can feel whatever he wants. He does owe this club.
Mm. I reckon if you had told him that they would be 0-3, there's no chance in the world that he takes the weeks. 100%, he sort of pays the fine. He's back out there.
I don't even think that should matter. Like, honestly, Woodsy, matches.
I honestly couldn't believe the club didn't tell him, no, mate, you just...
Like, I've heard the argument, well, he didn't know the draw.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's three games. Yeah. That is 10%, 15% of the regular season.
Exactly.
You're not going to walk away from it.
I genuinely think that Parramatta, anyone signing a player now, I can't even believe it's an option to take a fine all games. I think, you know, in contracts, they'll have it. The club, in exceptional circumstances, have the final say on any choice
in
disciplinary matter.
Well, shouldn't they have the final say
anyway? No matter what, yeah.
Well, Brad said during the week, he said, look, my role, and he's saying this publicly, probably feels differently behind the scenes, but said, I said my piece, I gave him my opinion, but at the end of the day, he has to live and die by his decisions, so my role is not to change his opinion. But most would probably argue.
I wonder how he feels. I'd be absolutely rattled going to train and knowing that I've taken the weeks. Yeah. I'd be so scared to go near the
games.
The
games have been so close.
Oh, mate,
you could easily make an argument.
They haven't used their bench properly.
Yeah.
Well, he's
outstanding off the bench.
We at some point have to talk about that. We like Brad Arthur. Some don't. Some have had it in for him right from the get go. His use of the bench. His argument is, well, I want my best players on the field for the maximum amount of time. But, geez, when they run out of puff-in games they've got Woodamu Greggs played 4 minutes and Makatoa hasn't even got on the field, that deserves discussion. We've got to take a break. We're going to take a break because kickoff is less than 10 minutes away. Triple M rocking Thursday night footy. It's the grand final rematch here live on Triple M.
Ready or not. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.